God of glory, tabernacling with Yeshua. I will proceed to read the three accounts of the transfiguration of Yeshua. Matthew 17, now after 6 days, Yeshua took Peter, James, Kephas, James, and John, his brother, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him, that is Yeshua, Jesus. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And while he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. But Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and do not be afraid. When they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. Now as they came down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them, saying, tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man has risen from the dead. Mark chapter 9. And he said to them, verily, verily, I say unto you that there may be some of them that stand here which shall not taste of death, till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. And after 6 days, Jesus taken with him Peter and James and John, and leads them to a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his raiment became shining, exceedingly white as snow, so as no fuller on the earth can white them. And there appeared to them Elias with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. For he does not know what he was saying, for they were very afraid. And there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, hear him. And suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one anymore save Jesus only with themselves. And as he came down the mountain, he charged them that they should tell no man what things they had seen till the Son of Man was risen from the dead. And they kept saying with themselves, questioning one another, what does the rising from the dead should mean? Luke 9:28. And it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter, John, and James and went up to the mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistening. And behold, there walked with him two men, which were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory, and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep, and when they were awake, they saw his glory, and the two men that stood with him. And it came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah, not knowing what he said. While he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, hear him. And when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone. And they kept it close and told no man in those days any of those things which they had seen. Now I'm going to read the account from Luke chapter 9, verses 28 to 36 from the Complete Jewish Bible by David H. Stern. About a week after Yeshua said these things, he took Kepha, Yohanan, and Yaakov with him and went up to the hill country to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothing became gleaming white. And suddenly there were two men talking with him, Moshe and Eliyahu. They appeared in glorious splendor and spoke of his exodus, which he was soon to accomplish in Yerushalayim. Kepha, and those with him had been sound asleep. But on becoming fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving Yeshua, Kepha said to him, not knowing what he was saying, "It's good that we're here, Rabbi. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moshe, and one for Eliyahu." And as he spoke, a cloud came and enveloped them, and they were frightened as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my son whom I have chosen. Listen to him." And when the voice spoke, Yeshua was alone once more. And they kept quiet at that time and told no one anything of what they had seen. In these accounts, we now see that Jesus revealed himself in his glory, the glory that he had with the Father, with Moses and Elijah. Now, I think it's really interesting that it says on the sixth day and it says on the eighth day in another, the other accounts. It occurred to me that perhaps this was maybe near the time of Tabernacles, and because they marked the days, the number of days, and Tabernacles has 8 days in its completion, and it speaks of God tabernacling with us, Emmanuel, God with us, and that he is, Moses was the Torah, and Elijah represents the prophets. So all the law and the prophets prophesied of him and his coming. Hence, each section of the revealed word of God through Moses and the prophets was represented by Moses and Elijah, and Jesus is the revealed word of God, the glory of God. And also, I think it's very interesting about this tabernacle that, of course, he appeared in his glory. And it is true. He only took three of his disciples up. He did not take 12. He did not take 70. He did not take the thousands. All of us are not the same in the kingdom. God chooses by his foreordaining and his counsel, his sovereign choice, who is going to do what and how. And it is by his divine plan and his commandments. And as he revealed, he spoke when the glory departed. He told them, don't tell anyone until after I have been raised from the dead. And they didn't know, these disciples, Peter, James, and John, what the Lord meant by he was raised from the dead. Now, John 17 is Jesus' high priestly prayer before he, as he was in Jerusalem, before he was to suffer as the high priest and offer up his blood for the new covenant. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with your own self, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. And then John 17:20, neither pray I for these alone, meaning his disciples, but for them also, which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, and I are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me, and the glory which you give me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me, and has loved them as you have loved me. So Jesus is full of the glory of God, and he is one with the God, and he gives his glory and fills us to those who believe. Know you not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man defiles the temple of God, him shall destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. 1 Corinthians 3:16. And 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now this is where, so we become the temple. And God's Spirit, which is His glory, which makes us one with the Father in heaven, as long as we don't defile it with idolatry and profane it with prostitution, spiritual prostitution and adulteries. As long as we follow the pattern and that God writes His hearts, His laws and His commandments in our hearts after He's given us a heart of flesh instead of a heart of stone, and His Spirit abides and dwells in us and enables us to keep His commandments and to hear what the Holy Spirit is teaching and to submit and to obey. Unless we continually resist and resist and resist the Holy Spirit, and then we have trampled the blood of Christ, and then there is no place left for repentance for us. Let us look at Ephesians 2:18. For through Him, that is Jesus the Messiah, through His blood, we have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. We no longer need to sow our efforts into temporal plans, but to sow our efforts into building the holy temple, the people of God, the household of God. Hebrews 12:18. Here we will show in this passage the difference between the old mountain and the new mountain. Jesus went up to the mountain to be transfigured. He brought in the renewed, restored covenant and the restoration of all things into Him and to the Father. Hebrews 12:18, for you have not come to the mount that might be touched, that burned with fire, nor into blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice that they heard, entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it should be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But you who've come to Mount Zion, but you who've come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus Yeshua, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. See that you refuse not him that speaks. For if they escaped not who refused him that spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that spoke from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifies the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made. That those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receive a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably, with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming